We're doing the Jewish home, and we're beginning a very broad topic that we've been pushing off, and this topic encompasses many, maybe most of the concept of Shalom Bayis, and that is the topic of speech, conversation, conversational styles, what should be said, what shouldn't be said, how it should be said, how to understand one another. And I think the place to begin is in understanding that the connection that we build with our spouse is really primarily revolving around speech. It's true, our actions speak, and sometimes louder than words. It's true that there's romance, but it's also true that most of the connection that we're building with our spouse is built through speech, through conversation, through communication. And so that's why this is a topic that I usually push off as late as possible. And you've noticed as we've been going through the series that many things I say, wait, we'll get there when we speak about speech and conversational styles, because this topic in itself really will hold us for a number of weeks. There are so many points to discuss that this is really the broadest topic that I know of when it comes to relationships. So the first thing we have to know is that we're very, very different. Our needs are different. Men and women are different in many areas, and one of the areas where it comes to play is in our speech patterns, speech styles, our needs for speech, our use of speech, and we'll explore some of those differences for starters. What do we speak for? Why are we talking? So men talk to get a point across. It could be very factual, and it could be their point is see how good I am, see how great I am. But there is a point. There's a reason we're talking. Women. Speech is an end, not a means. Let's talk. Let's schmooze. I was sitting at a simcha. A little 12-year-old niece came to her aunt, feeling very mature, sat down next to her and said, "Auntie, let's schmooze." So it was funny because of the setup. You know, she thinks she's going to schmooze with her 40-year-old aunt, but the concept was a very real concept. Women will sometimes call just to chat. We will explore many differences, but this is maybe the most fundamental difference between men and women in conversation, in that women need conversation for the sake of conversation, or we might say for the sake of connection, and men use conversation to get a point across. Here's what I want to tell you. So there was a chasen and kala. They had to call the people who didn't RSVP to understand who's coming to the wedding and who isn't. He went upstairs and took one phone. She went downstairs, took another phone. And they met after 3 hours. So he came back and said, "Okay, I finished my list of 300 guests. I have them all down." And she looked at him. He said, "How many people did you call?" She said, "Well, I didn't really start." He said, "What do you mean you didn't really start?" She said, "Well, I called two friends to ask them. And that's who I called." So in 3 hours, she covered two friends, and he covered 300 people. Not an exaggeration, because if you're a guy, you call me and say, "Hi, Chuck, how are you?" "Great. Tell me, are you coming to my wedding?" "Okay, fine. Be well, bye." And next. If you're a girl, it's, "Hi, Susie, what's doing? And how'd the prom go? And did your friends show up? And what dress did you wear?" And if a girl calls a girl using a guy style, if a girl calls a girl and says, "Hi, Sue, are you coming to my wedding? Okay, be well," that's considered so rude. That's insulting.
She must really be mad at me.
Right. She must really hate my guts. I wonder why she's so upset at me. Why'd she be so? Why was she so curt with me? So now, imagine a guy and a girl get together for a conversation. So they're sitting down, and he has his newspaper. And she says, "Honey," and he puts it down and says, "Yes, dear." And she says, "How are you?" He says, "Oh, fine." And he picks up his newspaper. But she didn't want anything, right? She just she says, "Honey," he puts down the newspaper. "Yes, dear. How's the toast?" "Oh, very good. Thank you. You make excellent toast." He picks up his newspaper again. Now, by the third time, she says, "Honey," and he's still looking at his newspaper. "Yes, dear." Why should he bother putting down his newspaper? What does she want anyways? Right? Because if we're goal-oriented, and if our conversation is always goal-oriented, so then what does she want from my life? I'll answer her how the toast was. I'll talk to her, you know, and that's why men, that's one of the reasons why men find women very annoying. What does she want from my life? She wants to talk. Okay, well, what does she want to say? No, I didn't say she wants to say anything. I said she wants to talk. Big difference. So, now we come to our famous class about your wife and the visit to the supermarket. Yeah? So, you come home from work, you put down your bag, you sit down, supper's ready, and your wife says, "Yaakov, Yisrael, Yaakov, I got to tell you something. You won't believe what happened today." So now you're sitting there with the bated breath, you're listening, and she says, "Well, I took the kids to the supermarket this morning, and boy, you know, it was raining, I couldn't find parking, I went back and forth through all the lines, finally there was a spot that seemed to be available. But as I was edging close to it, someone else came from around the corner and took that spot. You know, it's so upsetting, but okay, fine." I kept going around. I finally found the spot. It wasn't so close to the entrance to the supermarket. You won't believe what happened. So anyways, I parked the car, and the kids were already getting cranky. It was supper time, but I had to do the shop. So I took the kids, and I went looking for a wagon. You know, they're all sitting in the car, and it's already drizzling, and no one wants to go out in the rain, and they're cranky. So I wasn't sure what to do. I gave them each a tea biscuit, and they didn't like the tea biscuits. They said they were chocolate flavor, and really, I thought they were vanilla flavored. So I told them, "I'll give them each a vanilla-flavored tea biscuit." But when I opened up the pack, it turned out it was the chocolate flavor. Well, I don't understand that the labeling isn't clear anymore. But anyway, so I brought a wagon, and I put the kids in the wagon, and you know those wagons where one of the wheels doesn't turn well, so the whole way it's like annoying. So okay, I'm trying to run in quickly because it's drizzling. And Yaakov, you with me? Yeah. You won't believe what happened. Yaakov, so I entered the store, and all the kids are all cranky. Now they finished their tea biscuits, and this one's going, "Mommy, buy me an apple." Another one's going, "Mommy, buy me a pretzel." And I start going down the aisle, and this wagon is so annoying. Now the sales at that store, you wouldn't believe the sales at that store. Whoa, the sales are so worth it. I was so happy I went, but the kids were so cranky. And we're going down the aisle, and the apples, you know, apples were for $2.50. $2.50, do you believe it? Over here we pay 8 shekel a kilo. $2.50. It was so kedai to go. I started putting the apples into the bag, and you know, Shmuley, he always likes eating apples, but I didn't pay for them, and then I don't know the weight. So I'm going to have to go to the checkout counter, and I don't know what to pay. But anyways, we're going down the aisle with that cranky cart, you know, it was annoying. But the kids, you know, they were relatively okay. I sent Chaim to go and pay for a few apples and keep the receipt. And then I gave the kids tea. And you always wonder, are people looking at you like maybe you're stealing the apples? And we started going around. I saw Sprinty. You remember our neighbor Sprinty? I haven't seen her in years. Yaakov, wait, I'm going to tell you. You remember when we were out in Tzfat, there was this unique dress, and the seller told me it was handmade, and that it was the only version, that I'd never see a dress like that. I was standing there, I would have sworn the woman came to my closet and stole it. There was a woman there with the exact same dress. But anyways, okay, I left that. I met, you remember our neighbor when we used to live in that old building? She lived across the hall from us. She had the kid with the funny earring. So she was standing there, her son, oh, he's so nice, he's so sweet, he's always helping us. But it was the first time I saw her with him. They were both standing at the frozen food section, and the kids were getting chilly, but she had such interesting stories. It's been ages since I saw her. So, Yaakov. Yaakov, wait a second. You won't believe what happened. Yaakov, you won't believe it. Aren't you interested?
No. tell me about the shopping cart.
Let me just tell you, every year I do this class, and every year I get the same comments from the guys, and every year our female listeners blush and send me an email, tell the guys you're not joking and you're not exaggerating. What's wrong with these guys? How come they don't have patience to hear a story? So when she comes into the story and says, you won't believe what happened today, you males out there, you're all thinking you switch into, okay, tell me the mode, tell me what's your point, right? So you're waiting for the point. The point was the story. There is no point. The point is, we'll talk, I'll tell you. So eventually I'll get there. You will sometimes sit and your wife will do this to you, and you have to turn on the switch that says, I heard this in class, and what she's doing to me is she's saying, I love you. I love you. I love you. I want to share my life with you. I want to tell you about my life, and I love you. But what are you here? You're annoying. You're pestering me. I have no clue what you want from my life, and I'm supposed to act interested. What do you want? Just tell me. Why? Because you're a man. So you want to tell me. What's your point? Right? No. She's a woman. Our goal in speech is very different. Her point is to connect with you. Your point is, tell me what you want. No, right? So, point number one, we're coming from different places. And she wants to talk with you. And she wants you to talk with her. So, if you want to be a good husband, when you come home, guys, make a note of this. You won't remember this. And you have to remember this. Try to dedicate 15 minutes to share your life with her. Because you could get a raise at work, and you could be considering switching jobs, and you won't find yourself telling her. And in a minute, we might actually discuss why this happens. But she wants you to tell her. Her point isn't necessarily to be doing the talking. She wants to have conversation. But you being a man, you walk through the door, and she says, honey, how was your day? And you go, tough. How was yours? Oh, you won't believe what happened today. She's got a lot to share with you. But wait a second. Why don't you try the other way? Why don't you sit down and tell her what your day was like? Because it's not natural to you. But what marriage does is it fuses a man with a woman, which means, what does it mean? So some will tell you it means God has a massive sense of humor. What do you do putting a man with a woman? Put a man with a man. We could grunt to one another all day, right? You know how men sit in the lunchroom? Or tss, right? Why use words, right? You sit in the lunchroom. You see, they're all pointing. Okay, that's why men have jabs. You notice that? They want to say, I love you. What do they do? Okay, you ever see that? They hug. They wrestle. They bump chests, right? You seen men do this, right? But talk? No. Why should we talk? You kidding? They hug one another. They give them a noogie. You know, it depends on the age. Different ages, men have different actions that show love. Then they have the handshake, right? We used to have a guy here. Every time he'd shake my hand, it would be a whole, like, whole charade. I didn't know what I was supposed to do, but he knew what I was supposed to do. So, yeah, up, down, this way, that way. Okay. Now we're cool. But women, if we're connected, we're going to talk. So now, God made you marry a woman. So that means that you're going to have to learn something from this relationship. So that means our souls have to become more tender. We can't continue in the crass way in which we're accustomed to continuing with other men. You know, you come home and... you say, I'll show her I love her. You give her a bear hug and that's it. No. She wants you to sit down and talk. And talk. And talk some more. Now you could start talking. Right. Speech. The great glue of marriage. If you can speak well, if you could give her the feeling that you enjoy listening to her and you enjoy sharing with her, so now you have her heart. People, yeah.
Does that mean she should try to also like, get more to the point? I mean, there should be effort on her part too, right? Like, we should try to talk more, but she should try to talk less.
No, I didn't say that.
There's no point.
There are other areas where a woman is going to learn from a man. On this area, men have to learn from women. You'll tell me there are times where women have to learn from men? Maybe. I do not plan on discussing that at all in this class, because I don't think that's really within the scope of what we have to cover. No. I think our focus has to be on where we can learn to be more in touch with our feelings, which we'll discuss in a separate class, where we can learn to be more sharing of our lives, which is what we're discussing here right now. So imagine you come home tonight. What are you going to share with your wife? Think for a minute, because it doesn't come naturally. It doesn't come easily. When you're sitting there with your wife, you think you're going to say, okay, I missed you. It's good to see you. I couldn't wait to see you today. Yeah, my day was tough. There were a lot of clients who were annoying. What was your day like? Stop. Why don't you go and tell her about the toughest moment? Why don't you tell her about the greatest moment? Because it's not natural to us. Now, why is it not natural to us? There are two reasons. One is because of the reason we discussed until now. Our speech is usually goal-oriented. But two is because of the woman. You speak to your mother, she's dying to hear everything you have to say, and she doesn't cut you off. You speak to your wife, you start a sentence, she cuts you off, and now she's off to another sentence, and she's off talking. So how does a male mind interpret that? To the male mind, she's not interested. She cut me off. She switched the subject. So, okay, I'll listen to her, if that's what she wants. So it's very common that women say, you didn't tell me you got a raise. You didn't tell me you got fired. You didn't tell me you're considering buying a new car. And the man doesn't even remember what hit him by that time. But what really hit him was, I didn't even bother trying. I've tried so many times to share things with you, and every time I try to share something with you, conversation goes off in another direction. And this is where women should learn from men. If you're going to tell me we should learn from them and they should learn from us, so women have to learn how men need to be listened to. But your wife isn't listening to this class. So what does that mean? You have to learn how to work with your wife on this point. Meaning men interpret women's form of listening as deviating from the point. Women, when they listen, are active listeners. It's an ongoing conversation. When men listen, they're silent. That's why women will often say on the phone, are you there? Are you alive? Can you show a sign that you're with me? When you ever have a phone conversation, because when women listen, so their listening is active. They're all the time going, yeah, and that happened to me too. And you know what? When it happened to me, their listening is very active, but men's listening is very passive, because we're always information-oriented. You want to hear what I have to say? So be quiet and listen, chat. You want to talk? I'm listening. But one of us is teaching the other. If a conversation is not exactly the way men talk. So the male mode of conversation doesn't adapt well to talking to a female. You come home and you say, she asks you, how was your day? And you say, it was fine. There was something very interesting that happened in the office. You say about two sentences before she says, yeah, and you know what happened by me, and da, da, da. And, okay, I'm listening. Because we know one of two modes. We have a hard time going on female mode, what we would call conversational mode. She talks, I talk, she talks, I talk, and I bring the conversation back to the point I was trying to discuss. To men, it's very frustrating. If we were having a conversation about what my day was like, why'd you take over the conversation and talk about what your day was like? And a woman will answer you, I was just being a polite listener. I just wanted to show you I was interested. I shared my reflections on what you were saying. But this is where women would do well to learn more of men's conversational style. And again, here too, I expect men to learn and understand where the woman's coming from. and force themselves to continue sharing with their wives. And that's why it's helpful to set up like a mini date. You come home, at some point you sit down for a cup of tea or whatever. You shut the phones, you sit down, and you talk. And part of that, you should have in mind, I want to share with her certain things that happened in my day. Yes?
All right. So I think that's advice about up until that point. It's like, all right, you know, to understand that there's a difference in the conversational strategies or however you would work them. But then I didn't understand if you did give advice on how to make it as to what to do about it. You just said, all right, know that it's like this, and then do what? You know, it's like, you know, you're not, are you able to fix the way you are conversate or the way she will conversate? Or anything like that to make it like better and more and better, balanced conversation? Or do you just gotta contend with it? Like, all right, like she took over listening, and then she'll be mad at me later because she thinks I wasn't listening. When really, I was just being silent because that's what I'm programmed to do.
So I suggested three things.
You said
number one.
Yeah.
You should share, and you should designate time to share. And even though it's unnatural to the man to do that, you should come and share even the simplest thing. If you were sitting in a traffic jam, she wants to hear about it.
Right,
and if you get used to sharing...
one
step at a time, right.
Okay.
Now, secondly, you could share with her this difference in conversational styles, and you could discuss with her that you do want to share with her what happens in your day. And if you have a set time, then you could divide it. There's a Rav, I heard in his name, I think his name is Rav Binental, something like that, where he recommends that couples have every night 15 minutes, 7.5 minutes, this one 7.5 minutes, that one, where you have time where each one speaks and the other one just listens. So that's a good way of practicing to listen, or for a woman to practice listening the way men listen. I'm not suggesting going that far, but I am suggesting that you get accustomed to her style, share with her this difference, and hopefully she will come towards you, but you can also come towards her and not take it so personally when she shifts.
No, I get that, but I'm saying, what I'm asking is, all right, so this is the way it is, and you can reserve 15 minutes a night, 30 minutes, whatever it might even be. That's how I'm saying, but once the conversation shifts, because that's what it does, you still get into trouble when when you're just passively listening, because that's what we're programmed to do.
I don't know about that.
How do you make it so that, and like, what if you want to share that you were in a traffic accident or a traffic jam or whatever, and you just don't have the ability to because it shifts, and now, you know, instead of talking about how is your day, talking about you're listening to about something totally irrelevant, like completely separate, like, oh, I was going to tell you this, but now you're talking about something else. So I'll talk about, you know, this other nice painting that you saw in someone's house today, or whatever it might be.
I think there are two ways. There are many ways. One way is to say, no, I really want to share with you what happened today in traffic, when you have a minute, I'd like to share that with you. And then when she goes off topic, you say, could we discuss that in a minute? I just want to finish telling you what happened by me. Or if you're more skilled, you could go off topic and learn how to bring it back on topic, which is what the skill I'd like you to learn.
How do you learn that?
With time, you'll see how she does it, and you do it too. Learn that conversational style. Learn it. It's a learned skill. But there is a trick. And I'll tell you the trick. Women get really upset when I say this one, but they admit it works. Okay? So, look, I want to tell you, but a little later. That's it. Now she's not going to forget.
Wait, I don't get it.
If you come in and you say, Ari, I want to tell you something very interesting happened today. Okay, never mind. Sure, she's not going to let up. Hashem created certain differences between men and women. One is that women are far more curious than men. So if you start something like this, this is a trick. I mean, this isn't like the way you're going to run your life. But every so often, if you want to use it, you should know it works. You come in and you tell your wife, honey, there was something really interesting that happened at work today. Never mind, we'll talk about it later. Right?
Do conversations like this, that's just how it naturally is? Like with any girl or woman or anything, or it only happens once, like only when they're talking when they're married to their husband or something? That they talk about every single, you know, the cart was not good in the supermarket and the apples and the tea biscuits and...
It's a conversation that a woman will have when she's close to someone. So that's when you're close to her, so then she shares her life with you. And that's what I'm saying. When you see this conversation happening, you're going to be sitting at the dinner table, and it's going to be happening. And it's going to click. And you're going to say, wow, I heard that. You know how many emails I get every year after I give this class? Usually we have about 100 viewers within the week, right? So within the week, I start getting emails. You're so right, tell the guys, they're not yet married, they don't know. Like, this is exactly what it's like.
So it doesn't happen until like one day, like random day after getting married, a month or two, three, 5 months, a year later?
When you hit a comfort level.
How do you talk to her until then?
Slowly. This is our, if you have a good relationship, and that's what I wanted with this story. When you hear her going on and on and on, what you have to be hearing is, she loves me, she loves me, she loves me. She wants to connect with me, she's sharing her life with me, she loves me. That's what I want you to be telling yourself. You're going to ask you're going to be asking yourself, what's her point? She said there's something very exciting that happened today, something very interesting. And you're going to just click in your mind, and remember, you heard it here. What she's telling you is, I want to share my life with you. You're important to me, you're a part of my life, and so I want to share it with you. There is no point other than that. You're waiting for the punchline.
Yes.
Right. So there might be one and there might not be one. Not necessarily. That's why I went on and on with the story. You won't believe what happened today. You didn't hear the punchline, did you? She went through the rain and the kids were eating and the tea biscuits weren't what she thought they were. And the guy took her parking spot and the wheel didn't turn right and the dress and the... No, the punchline is, I want to talk to you. It doesn't matter. We'll get there slowly. You'll understand better slowly. Listen. This goes, you know, there's an overlap. We're not going to cover everything in one night. We still have to discuss a lot about the conversational differences. This was just class one. Yes, Uri.
So, maybe a quick question. Dating a girl, you want to make her feel special, and you want to connect to her. Is it going to work as a technique to, like, smile and try and be actively interested in what she's saying? Is that like, one of the best ways to tell a woman indirectly that you're interested in her and that you want her to know that she means something to you?
I can't answer about dating because that deserves a broader discussion exactly what is correct in which stage of dating. But I will answer in terms of marriage. One of the ways in which a husband can show his wife that he loves her is by having a conversation, taking an hour for just schmoozing. One of the things I recommend couples do on Friday night is... sit down, take out a game of Rummy Cup, take out something easy, not too competitive. Take out a cup of tea and something sweet to eat and sit down together and just schmooze. Because a Friday night is supposed to be a time when couples get together. It's supposed to be a time, there's a special biblical mitzvah when the couple is permitted, they should be together. So even if they're not going to be intimate that night, if they're not permitted... So then at least there should be that level of connection. And that level of connection for a woman comes through conversation. The halacha says that one of the ways in which a wife connects to her husband is the conversation they have before they fall asleep at night. Even when they're prohibited and the beds are separate. But the conversation that they have as they're falling asleep, as they're both lying in bed, that's something special. That's the Talmud quotes a verse that calls it Beit Tanugia, the pleasure of her house, is those final minutes of conversation before the couple falls asleep. It's not about anything necessarily too important, but it is some type of conversation. So I think that in marriage, I'm not addressing the point of dating, but in marriage, one who wants to show his affection should definitely take the time to have that type of rambling conversation with his wife, even if it's once a week, but it's still a lot. It means a lot to her. Yes?
You mentioned like earlier about talking about your day and what, you know, think about what you would say. And I was sort of thinking that, you know, this is like what these things that she was mentioning, sort of the name. So what about like talking Torah with her as a means of communication? You know, this, honey, what did you do today? Oh, I learned an interesting sugya of the Gemara. Like, let's, you know, I had this question that Rob didn't answer. I didn't get to ask it because of da-da-da. What do you think? So, you know, that kind of thing. That is this a good idea?
I think it's a good idea with the right girl and the right guy. I think the key is share with her what's meaningful, what was meaningful to you. If you saw something interesting you could share with her, that's good. I would not share with her, the Talmud says it's not recommended to start sharing with her, well, he said this Svara, and I said that Svara, and I was right, and he was wrong, or he pushed me out, he was right, and I was wrong. That to that level, I wouldn't go. But to the point of, I saw an interesting Medrash, I saw a very interesting Svara in the Gemara, yeah, that's for sure, yes, with the right wife, with a woman who cares to hear about that. Yeah. Yeah, you can't come home and start sharing with your wife things that she couldn't care less. You know, Rabbi Kiv Eger's wife was illiterate. So he's going to come home and share with him all his genius comments on the Shulchan Aruch, and she doesn't even know how to read Chumash, you know. That's not exactly what she needs. It's not her level of connection. Now, you could share with her, I had a great day, there was something very interesting. You have to share on a level that makes sense to share with her, depending on where she's holding in life. I mean, it has to be on some level interesting to her.
But these conversations that are not just kind of like about tea biscuits and everything, they actually, this is like kedusha. This is like, no matter, like, as long as it's not like Lashon Hara or something, this is like a like serious kedusha of like Shalom Bayit and everything, in just talking about anything.
I would add to that, the Chafetz Chaim, it is recorded in his biography, used to talk to his wife 2 hours every night. 2 hours. Can you imagine what that is? He talked till midnight. He'd be schmoozing with his wife. His wife needed to have that much conversation. And so, as people correctly mentioned earlier, he would veer the conversation in the direction of discussing philosophical concepts. So it'd start one place, and he'd start discussing with her how Am Yisrael is doing, what Am Yisrael needs, and all kinds of things about Jewish thought and self-improvement, things that were going on in his mind during the day. But he schmoozed with her 2 hours a night. So yes, the idea of building a connection with a fellow Jew, with your spouse, is a very holy endeavor. Yes. And it is the basis of every holy thing you'll do during your day. The house is the basis of your productivity. It's not just something, oh, I have to deal with that. It's the root of who you are. It's the foundation on what you stand. Tov, what did we discuss today? We discussed conversation being the key to connection. We discussed different conversational styles. Men being goal-oriented. Women, the speech is an ends and not a means. Men get frustrated by it. Women need the speech in order to connect. And women need men to be able to talk on their level. We then went on to discuss that when men and women converse, women will sometimes take the conversation to a totally different topic. Men then tend to stop sharing with the women what's going on in their lives. Women are upset by that. Men are upset by that. Men have to learn how to work with the difference between them. Women have to learn how to work with the difference between them. One of the ways to work with it is to discuss it. One of the ways to do it is that idea of taking a time where I get to talk, time when she gets to talk. I suggested starting out with the thought in mind, this is what I want to share with her. When you come into the conversation thinking, I want to share with her this portion of my day, so then you will ultimately keep coming back to topic. And I said, where I'd like to see you get to is where you learn her method of conversation and learn how to bring the conversation back to the point which you want to share with her, so that you do share with her and do it in a smooth way, working with her conversational style. We set an idea that you can sometimes get a woman interested by saying, hey, I had something interesting to tell you, and then saying, okay, never mind. And then she'll be running after you to get to the point that you wanted to share with her. And obviously that's not the method you're going to use on a daily basis. That's it's just an interesting thought. And at the end, we discussed the idea that conversation is something so important that on Friday nights, a couple should take time not only to be romantic, but also to have a lot of time to talk. And a couple has to know that the speech and the connection that they're building is the foundation of everything that they're doing in their lives. That connection is at the root of their continued success as a couple together.